You are listening to another Screenfish One-on-One, this time live with director Franz Boom. In his new documentary, Dear Future Children, Boom follows three young justice warriors as they attempt to see their world change regarding issues such as social inequality, climate change, and democracy. In this one-on-one, we speak to Boom about the traumas he experienced while filming, what justice looks like for this generation, and what the past can learn from the present. Welcome to the conversation. Welcome to Screenfish. Thank you so much, Franz, for taking the time to chat with me. I really appreciate it.
Thanks so much for the invitation. It's a great pleasure speaking with you.
I really do appreciate it with this one. Dear Future Children is an incredible film. There's some incredible footage, and I love the stories that you're telling. Really sort of brings some context, and it's all around the world. I was wondering, where did you get the idea for this particular project?
I think we as a core team, we really had a high fascination for young global modern activism, and we just definitely wanted to learn more about it. We wanted to learn more about the people on the front lines of these movements. And when we did our research, we just realized that quite a few films and also, you know, some TV shows, they spoke a lot about activism, but they didn't really speak with them. So that's something we wanted to change. We wanted to build a platform for these international voices, and we want to have a in-depth look into, you know, what motivates them, what kind of struggles do they have. Yeah,
it's incredible. And I was wondering what it was like working with these particular young people. How did you find them? What struck you about them?
I think, first of all, what struck me is that they all share the same motivation and the same energy for a better future. We collaborated very, very closely with, you know, other young activists, NGOs, youth groups on the ground, also many journalists. So we reached out to them very, very carefully. And we had two elements that were especially helpful, that have been especially helpful in building a good relationship with them. And that is enough time and honesty. So we had enough time to really get to know each other. And we always communicated very honestly what the angle of the project is, what exactly we are imagining, what our goals with this project is. And so that's how we started off our collaboration. That's how we got to know each other. And I mean, you know, there are so many countries in which the young generation now is really standing up for a better future. And in many cases, like in Hong Kong, like in Chile, they're actually representing a democratic majority, and they're using the protests on the streets as a last desperate opportunity to really make their voices heard.
Yeah, see, that was so interesting. You know, seeing these youth around the world in their own, you know, with very different visions. I was wondering, what do you think, because I know they're very different ideas and very different contexts, but what do you think justice looks like for these young people?
I think justice for them means a seat on the table. And that's the main reason and the main, I would say, origin of why they had to go on the streets in the first place, because they felt very, very unheard. They felt that they have democratic majorities behind core issues that left them unheard. So justice, I think, for them, first of all, means a seat on the table, a right to, you know, to have a say when it comes to creating the future, because, you know, it's them who will be most affected by the decisions we are taking now.
Yeah. So it's, and even the title of the film, Dear Future Children, it's like you've got the children of the adults talking about the future for their, it's really this interesting generational web. And I was wondering, what do you think the previous generation can learn from the current ones and maybe even the next?
I think, first of all, what really struck me and impressed me as well is how well connected the young generation today is. So for example, the Hong Kong movement, you know, learns from strategies and tactics which are being used in Chile. They are in constant contact with each other. They are organizing the solidarity protests in Europe, in the UK, in Germany, in London. So that is, I think, very, very impressive. And they are also staying, you know, they're using every level of activism to make their voices heard. They have protests on the streets, surely, but they are also using, like we see in Chile, they're using street art, they're using social media, they're using, again, helpful contacts in Europe to make their voices heard there as well. And I think that's really something that is where we all can learn a lot from.
Yeah, there's some real creativity there rather than, I mean, when we think of the protests, we think of the street protests, but there are these other aspects as well, which I think are really interesting. One of the things about the film, without, I don't want to give necessarily anything away, but one of the things that really struck me about it, there's a heavy emphasis on the cost of this. We see and hear stories of characters who, there's my dog going to go. we see and hear. Hey, shush. Yeah. Sorry.
No.
Sometimes she's got to interrupt. enough. But we see and hear stories of young people who are killed, who are injured seriously, people who are hurt in the as a cost to their activism. I was wondering, based on your conversations with them, you guys built this incredible relationships. How did they weigh the importance of their fights versus the challenges? We see them struggle with it.
Mm. I think that's a very interesting aspect for the project generally. Mm-hmm. When we first arrived at, let's say, the movement in Hong Kong, nobody was able to foresee the development. Quite a few told us that this will be a very, very successful democratic revolution here, and that we are really accompanying history in a positive way here. And I think one core goal of the project was to feature every single aspect. That includes the loss of friends, that includes desperation, that includes facing challenges which are, you know, larger than life. And the one thing that keeps them going is persistence and is fear as well. I think a lot of, you know, the main origin of their current braveness is actually fear, is being fearful of the future. The IPCC report, for example, showed that Hilda, won't be able to raise her children in Uganda in 20 or 30 years' time because it will simply be too hot. Mm. She needs to move to another country if she really wants to found a family in the future, wants to create a family in the future. And I think that's a very powerful fear that will lead to a lot of braveness and a lot of persistence as well.
Yeah. Did you see, or how, rather I should say, how did you see them change throughout this process? This is quite a lengthy period of time.
I think the biggest development we were able to see was Hilda. At first, Hilda was still quite hopeful that international governments, for example, will react to this crisis. Hilda was hopeful when she got invited to the C40 summit in Copenhagen. What she had to learn, or what she learned, though, is you can't really rely on anybody else to do the work for you. If Hilda wants to change the future of Uganda, if Hilda wants to battle the consequences of climate change there, she needs to do it completely on her own. She can't rely on anybody else. That was a very tough lesson for her to learn. The C40 summit in Copenhagen was ended without any declarations. It was a completely unnecessary event. Hilda was ashamed that they weren't able to reach anything. And Hilda kind of realized afterwards what these summits are for. You know, she said, well, we are all listening to each other. We are all applauding each other. We are all giving powerful speeches, but there's no concrete action taken afterwards. And that's something that she would like to tackle specifically when it comes to her home country, Uganda.
Wow. That's great. That's amazing. I was wondering, like, that you've got some incredible footage. Was it really difficult to acquire that? Was it to be a part in that? I know you said you built really strong relationships with your people.
I mean, especially filming at the front line, or also filming during moments, you know, when Ryan spoke to the parents of a boy who just died in the protest. These were the most challenging moments for us. We were very well prepared from a physical standpoint. We had a lot of training. We spoke to a lot of people on the ground. But I think there is something that you can't really prepare for, and that is, you know, seeing people die at the front line, seeing people getting shot at. We also were shocked by the level of violence we received from the police. And surely these were, you know, the biggest challenges. And staying concentrated, staying focused on filming, on the project, was something that was only reachable, or was only possible, because we had such a powerful and strong team behind the project.
Yeah, that's how was that, like, what was that like for you, for as a filmmaker? I mean, that's got to be so difficult to see.
It is, and I remember that I was visiting an event in London at the Frontline Club, where a war photographer spoke about her experiences as well. And I just asked her, you know, I just lived through quite a lot of challenging moments there, and I saw people die. I was just wondering, how are you coping with that? Like, what's your strategy in getting back into your normal life? And she was just like, yeah, whenever I think about that, I just go to the bar and I drink. And, you know, I, at that time, I was a little bit offended. I was like, this is a serious question. But it took me a few months to realize that this was a serious answer as well. And that doesn't mean that our team turned into alcoholics. That just means that these moments will accompany us, and that will also be a motivation factor for future projects. We now were able to accompany and see many moments that were horrible on, you know, many different levels. And I'm sure it will have a great impact on us and on our future work as well.
Yeah, that's got to be so challenging for you. And I mean, the cultures that you're filming, and, you know, the areas that you're filming, I can never say, and I want to be careful how I say this, but I don't want to say that they're more accustomed to it, but they're not. That's not what I'm trying to say. I'm not trying to be insensitive, but I mean, to see that for the first time must be truly, truly shocking. As we start to wrap up, Franz, just a simple question is this, is what do you hope that people get from seeing the film?
First of all, I hope that as many people as possible will just see the film and will listen to the stories of these three protagonists. I think that their voices, their stories, and, you know, the consequences, let's say, of the national security law, that's something that affects them, but it affects us as well. I hope that it will be easier for future filmmakers to make similar projects, especially here in Germany. It was very, very challenging to make a project like this, because, you know, many TV channels were saying, you know, this is not really about Germany. We don't really have German protagonists here. So it's very, very difficult for us to see a future, to see a place for this film. And we just want to show on an international level that there is an audience for projects like these. And these are stories and issues that we should speak about.
Yeah, these are stories that need to be told. And they're stories that, when told, hopefully will bring about change. Thank you so much for your time, Franz. I really appreciate it. It's a wonderful film. My understanding is it's in some theaters now, but it'll be available on VOD on the 29th. Is that?
I think that is correct. Yes, it's definitely in some theaters now.
Okay. Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for the time, chat. I really wish you the best.
Thank you so much. It was a great pleasure speaking with you, and likewise.